reward for those that have to sit and tolerate a preacher in church all these years. The Lord will give you a special reward for that. All right. 1 Timothy chapter 6, please. 1 Timothy chapter 6. He wants to go to junior church so bad. He just wants out of here. That's what he wants. First Timothy chapter 6. I know you've been standing a lot, but let's stand for the reading of the word. I will read out loud. You just follow along, all right? You don't need to read out loud. I will read. We just stand for the to honor the word of God. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we could be here today. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God that we can read from and have a message from. Lord, we pray that you would speak to our hearts now as we get into this message. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see that there are some things in this world that are far more important than money. Lord, I pray that you would bless the junior church. Be with James and Suzanne as they're down there leading the children. We pray, Lord, that they would listen. We pray, Lord, that they would learn as the Word of God is taught to them. Lord, no child is too young to learn and understand what the Word of God says. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts now. And again, if there's anybody here, there are somebody maybe listening online this morning that is not saved, we pray for their salvation. We pray for a clear conviction of the Holy Spirit upon that person or those persons today. We also pray, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts as Christians. Encourage us and challenge us through the Word of God. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Let's pretend, I'm just going to pretend, that right here in this, well, they took the offering plates. But let's just pretend that right here on this communion table is $100,000 in cash. First of all, I wonder how long it would be there. If I closed my eyes and turned away, would it still be there? And let's just imagine that that money is just sitting out here, and it's for my use, okay? And I have this $100,000 here. Now, let me ask a question. Is that money evil? No. Do you know that money in itself is not evil? Money in itself is not bad. It's what I do with that $100,000. That's what makes it good or bad. Now, if I took that $100,000 and I tithed on it and gave 10% to the church, and then we gave a bunch to missions, and then say we gave people that needed it some money and we used it in that way, we used it in an unselfish way, would that be good or bad? It would be good. But what if I took that money and I just used it just on me, didn't tithe on it, didn't do anything with it for the Lord, and went out and bought alcohol, cigarettes, drugs, just wasted it on riotous living, would that money then be bad? It's the way it's spent, right? Money, again, in itself is not, it's not bad and it's not evil. It's how you and I spend the money that we have. Did you know that money is needed to survive? Pretty much so. In this day and age, we need money to survive today. Unless you are living self, you know, contained in a farm and you've got all the cows and the goats and the chickens and the eggs and all the stuff you need and your garden is big and is growing and you've got all the stuff canned and put away, then pretty much you have to go to the store. And you're going to need money in order to buy the things that you go to the store for. Yes? And unless you own an oil refinery and you want to drive a vehicle, now I know pretty soon they want to shut all of the gas and oil down in America, and they want us to either ride bicycles, electric cars, or go back to horse and buggy. That's pretty much what the government wants us to do. That's why gas prices are going to go up. They're shutting down the Keystone. You know, and that's political. I don't want to get into that. But we need money to go down to the gas station to buy gas for our vehicles. You need money if you're buying a house. You need money to pay the mortgage. You need money to pay your taxes. Now, your house can be paid off, but guess what? You still have to pay your taxes. And if you go a long time without paying your taxes, that house doesn't belong to you anyway. Somebody's going to come in and tell you to move out of the house. And you can argue all you want, but this is my house. I paid it off. I paid, you know, the $100,000 mortgage off. It's my house. No, it's not. You owe money. Today, money is needed to survive. In the previous chapter, chapter 5 of 1 Timothy, Paul is dealing with this issue of money in these last two chapters quite extensively. When you read through these verses carefully and closely, you'll see that he's dealing with this. He's trying to instruct Timothy as to how to handle money situations that come in the church. He's trying to help Timothy to know, how do we take care of the widows that can't work? What do we do with widows that can work? Right? I mean, that's what he's dealing with. How do you deal with these particular things? He even says in verse 8 of 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, it says this, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Now, there's a lot of different interpretations on that verse, but I believe that the verse is dealing with, in the context, you always look at the context. You don't pull verses out of, you know, and make them say what they want. In the context, in the verses beyond that, he's dealing with how to handle money issues in the church. And so this is quite clear to me that he is telling us, listen, we are to take care of our families financially and physically. We are to do that. Yes, take care of them spiritually, but primarily he's dealing with a physical issue here. He's dealing with this money issue. And so if somebody is not willing to provide for their own, not willing to work and provide for their own, especially, he says, of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. We are responsible to take care of our families. Yes, we are. Physically and spiritually. And I'm not putting one over the other. They're both, spiritually is extremely important, but also so is the physical part. God has given us that responsibility. We seem to live in a money crazy place today. We live in a money crazy country today. Too many Americans today find that money and things have become their idols. There are three main things in America that I think have become idols. Number one, money. Number two, pleasure. Now, this third one might surprise you, but think about it. Food. Food. Money, pleasure, and food. Do you like to go to a restaurant once in a while and eat? How many of you like to go to a restaurant once in a while and eat? Not everybody, but, you know, we enjoy that. Kathy and I, we like to go to a restaurant once in a while and just sit down and relax and order something you don't normally get at home, maybe, right? most restaurants are packed with people most of the time. Right? I mean, think about that. And in America today, we see that pleasure has become an exploded idol. People want just to please themselves. They're looking for all kinds of pleasure. And, of course, money has become a major idol today for many. And so I want to just bring you a short message today on things that are better than money. Now, we need money to survive. Please, understand it. I need money to take care of my family. We need money to buy the things that we need to buy and to pay whatever bills that we have. We need money to do that. So please understand that I'm not preaching against money. I'm preaching on against how money is spent, though, today. Again, I've got $100,000 sitting here, and it's up to me, it's up to you, if you have that kind of money, as to what you're going to do with it. Now, the biblical thing to do with it is you tithe on it, you give an offering, and you ask God, how do I spend this money? What do I do with this? God, show me and direct me the right way to handle my money. You should be praying about that in your own life. If you need a job, you ought to ask God to give you a job. Amen. If I know, when I'm praying for all of you people, I know that somebody's unemployed, I pray that God will give you a job. I pray that. I specifically say, now, God, give so-and-so a job. They don't have a job. Maybe they're unemployed. Maybe whatever the case. God, if they can work, give them a job. Because if you can work, you need to work. Amen. Because we need that income in order to take care of us. So I'm not preaching against money. So don't misunderstand me today. I've been accused here of not liking money. But the Bible does say that the love of money is the root of all evil. It's not the money, it's the love of the money. Proverbs 23 and verse 5, it says, "Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven." You might have money today and it might be gone tomorrow. Amen. But let me give you some things today just to think about. Some things that are better than money. Go over to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs 22. The first one that I wrote down, and these are in no specific order, but if you want to jot these down, jot them down. First thing that I wrote down is a good name. Do you know a good name is better than being rich? Now, here's a question for you. Can you be rich and have a good name? Absolutely. You can be rich and have a good name, right? I mean, there's been a lot of rich people down through the years. J.C. Penney was a very rich man, and yet he was a very godly man. J.C. Penney was the type of guy that he taught a Sunday school class on Sundays. Do you know that he went to every single church service in his church, J.C. Penney? He actually made a statement one time. He said, if you don't have enough time to go to a Wednesday night prayer meeting, he says, you don't have enough time then. You're wasting your time. J.C. Penney was that kind of a person. Now, I don't know where the store has gone nowadays, but there's been famous people. Sam Walton, that started Walmart, used to be, I don't know his religious background. Some of you might know that. I don't need to even know that. I don't care. But Walmart used to stand for Made in America. I remember when this Walmart went right after we came here, I think 30 years ago or whatever, you'd walk into that old Walmart where it's now Bonnedent, great big sign up there, Made in the USA. And that was right there when you walked into the store. I mean, he was serious about making sure that when you buy things, it's made in the United States. I haven't seen that banner up there in a long time. I think it went down right after he died. But look at Proverbs 22 and verse 1. Look what it says. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Let me ask a question. Is a good name more important than money? I believe it is. I really believe that a good name is better than money. These are things that are better than money. How do you want to be remembered in life? How will you be remembered in life? In a Ribsford, England cemetery, these are the words on the tombstone of this person. It says, Anna Wallace. The children of Israel wanted bread, and the Lord sent manna. Old clerk Wallace wanted a wife, and the devil sent him Anna. That tells you a little bit about Anna Wallace, right? But that's on her tombstone. I mean, that's for everybody to... Here's another one. In a Silver City, Nevada cemetery, here lies Butch. We planted him raw. He was quick on the trigger, but slow on the draw. You can imagine how he died. A lawyer's epitaph in England, Sir John Strange. Here lies an honest lawyer, and that is strange. On a grave in the 1880s, from the 1880s in Nantucket, Massachusetts, it says this, under the sod and under the trees lies the body of Jonathan Pease. He is not here. There's only the pod. Pease shelled out and went to God. And a Thurmont, Maryland cemetery, here lies an atheist, all dressed up and no place to go. I have been up to the tombstone of Daniel Nash. You guys been up to Daniel Nash's tombstone, Benedict's? Never been up there? Do you know where it is? Nope. It's up by Lowellville. It's right on Route 12. You gotta know where it is. You gotta go hunting for it to find it. I was taken there. By a preacher. I think Brother Jenkins, I think, took us up there one time at a preacher's meeting many, many years ago. But here's on Daniel Nash. This is on his tombstone up there. Pastor, 1816 to 1822. Laborer with Finney, referring to Charles Finney. And then these three words are underneath that. Mighty in prayer is on Daniel Nash's. There's actually a book that I read, a book about Daniel Nash, an amazing man that would just pray and pray and pray when Charles Finney would come into the area. I mean, Daniel Nash traveled. You know what Daniel Nash's main job was? Is to pray for Charles Finney as he preached. And then it has his birth date and death date, November 27, 1775 to December 20th, 1831. So what's in a name? A lot of things are in a name. 1 Samuel, look at 1 Samuel 18, chapter 18 and verse 30. 1 Samuel 18, 30. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 30. I'm going to mention some names to you. I want you to do this. When I mention the name of an individual, I want you to tell me back. You can speak up nice and loud and tell me whether that is a good name or a bad name. You ready? You sure you're ready?
Yeah.
Adolf Hitler.
Yeah.
Everybody says bad. That's in a name. And we all know it's not that far in the distant past. We know what Adolf Hitler did, what he stood for, right? Bad name. How about Paul the Apostle?
Good.
Good. I mean, he wrote more than half of the New Testament. How about Samuel the prophet? Come on, why'd you hesitate on that? That's fine. Say it again. Good. Samuel the prophet was good, right? King David. Good. Benito Mussolini. Bad. Bad, right? I mean, there's people that stand out. How about Bonnie and Clyde? Not Bonnie and Paul. Bonnie and Clyde. Bad. How about Bonnie and Paul? Good. Amen. I thought about that. Bonnie and Clyde. Well, Bonnie and Clyde, we know some of those things. 1 Samuel chapter 18, look at verse 30. 1 Samuel 18, 30. Then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass after they went forth that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by. David had a name. Yes, was he perfect? Of course not. He had sinned a grievous, terrible sin by committing adultery with Bathsheba and then having her husband killed and lying about it and covering up in the palace. We know that, but David was a man after God's own heart. David, we just read the psalm over there not long ago that he praised the Lord at least seven times a day. He just wanted to praise God. And he was a man that when he did something wrong, he went to God and he confessed it and repented and got his heart right. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 1. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 1. Here's another. Now let me throw some more names at you. How about Saddam Hussein?
Bad.
Bad. Right? Jesus Christ?
Good.
Amen. He's the only one. Abraham?
Good.
Good. Satan?
Bad.
Herod?
Bad.
Pontius Pilate?
Bad.
You can say bad.
Bad.
Bad. Peter?
Good.
Good. Judas Iscariot?
Bad.
Bad. Right? Jeffrey Epstein?
Bad.
Bad, if you know anything about news. All right, here's one I'm going to probably regret by saying it, but I'm going to do it anyway because I put it in my notes. Donald Trump. Okay, I don't know. Maybe some of you are sitting here saying, you wanted to say bad, but you just didn't know how to say it. But everybody has a different opinion on some people, right? I mean, Pastor Fenton. Okay. I got a few goods out of that one. She meant bad, yes. When you go, eh, I mean, happy anniversary to you too, dear. Yeah, but now you're having second thoughts on my goodness. Oh, boy. Ecclesiastes 7:1, the Bible says this, a good name is better than precious ointment in the day of death than the day of one's birth. That's because when you live a life, you generate a name. And you know, I hope and pray that your goal in life would be to generate a good name, not a bad name. You ought to want to have a good testimony, not a bad testimony. When your name is mentioned at your funeral, hopefully first you have some people come to your funeral, right? I've been to some funerals that have been very sad where hardly nobody shows up. Doesn't mean that the person was bad, just they didn't have too many friends or they didn't have too many acquaintances. But you will be known by who you are. You'll be known right now and you'll also be known someday in the future as to who you are. See, having a good name is better than having money. A lot of rich people in the world that probably would have a bad name if I was to throw those names out at you. You probably have some people that you can even think of that are very, very rich, but they don't have a very good reputation in life. Acts chapter 10 and verse 22, Acts 10, 22. Acts chapter 10, verse 22. While you're turning there, somebody throw me a bad name. I got two right there. Okay, all right. Throw me another bad name.
Chuck Schumer.
All right, let's remove the politics. Somebody from the past, from history. I needed a bad name. I call him a good name. Wouldn't you say Abraham Lincoln? Good. All right, George Washington, yeah, all of the, but Charles Manson, yeah, I didn't think about it. Charles Manson, obviously, very bad, right? Who else?
Jezebel.
Who would name their child Jezebel, right? Ahab, bad. We could go through the Bible and just talk about bad names and good names. Manasseh was a terrible name, but then he got saved right at the end of his ministry. God still had grace and mercy on considered the worst king of all of Israel was Manasseh. Horrible. 50 plus years of doing awful, horrible things. He's taken off and he's in captivity and he repents and God sends him back. So he can take the throne again. Amazing. Amazing. But the damage had already been done to Israel. Anyway, Acts chapter 10, verse 22. Acts 10, 22, they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by and holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Speaking to Peter, as Cornelius sent men to get Peter to come, and he wanted to hear the truth, and he wanted to be saved. But the Bible says there about Cornelius, he had a good report among all the nation of the Jews. This guy was known throughout all Jewry then, because of his name. He had a good name. Look at Acts chapter 22 and verse 12. Acts 22 and verse 12. 22, verse 12. And one Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, a man of good report. Go to 3 John in verse 12. 3 John, verse 12. Third John, verse 12. You see how important a good name is? Third John, verse 12. Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. Demetrius hath good report of all men. Now, here's a question for you. Can a bad name be turned into a good name over time? Yeah, I believe so. I believe that somebody could take and do something very horrendous, and yet over time, it's going to take a long time, and it's not that easy to do. But over time, you can take your name that was bad and turn it into something that was good. Prior to salvation, your name was bad. You had a bad reputation. Some of you I know in this room before salvation didn't have a very good reputation. But you got saved and your name changed from bad to good. Amen? Can a good name end up being a bad name? Oh, just like that. That easy. Make one major mistake in your life. One major sin, and your name could be destroyed that fast. I have known many a preacher that made a big mistake in their life or in their ministry, and today their name is no longer upheld as a good name in the ministry. Been a lot of people like that. You might even know some people that at one time they had a good name, but now it's a name that is just, you can't trust them. They've got a bad reputation. Maybe in a community, in a family, or wherever. And so there is a lot in a name. You better be concerned what your name is like. And remember that a good name is much better than money. That is far more important than all the money in the world. You can strive, and you can lust after and covet after money, and just that's all you want to do is just get. But your name is far more important than that. See, there are some things that are more important than just money. Secondly, go over to Psalm 119. We were there earlier reading out loud, but we're just going to go back over to Psalm 119. Let me give you the second thing that is better than money. It's called the Bible. You say the Bible is better than money? Absolutely, that's what the Bible says. So let's take a look at the verses that deal with this. The Bible. In Psalm 119, look at verse 72. Verse 72. Psalm 119, verse 72. It says in Psalm 119, 72, "The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver." Now, if David was the writer of Psalm 119, and there is some discussion about who wrote Psalm 119, some people feel that David wrote it, some people feel that other individuals wrote it, and just they were all combined together. Whoever wrote that, and I lean towards David myself, personally, but whoever wrote that says that the law of thy mouth, speaking about God's mouth, speaking about the word of God, is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. That's a lot of money, gold and thousands of gold and silver. The question today is how valuable is your Bible to you? 127, verse 127. Verse 127, Psalm 119, 127. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. So, what you're saying, preacher, is this Bible is far more important than money? Well, what did I just read? Now, did this Bible cost me money? It certainly did. It cost me some money to get it. I forget what I paid for this Bible. Would you pay for your Bible? Do you know it's far more, it's worth more than whatever you ever paid for your Bible? You may have paid, I got an expensive Bible in there. It's made out of some kind of special leather. I don't know, sheepskin or lamb's skin or some poor little lamb died to wrap around my Bible. But and I think I paid over $100 for it. Boy, it really smells good. I read it once in a while, but this is the one I read and preach from and study from. But anyway, maybe your Bible costs over $100. Maybe your Bible costs you $5. Maybe you went to the dollar store and bought a Bible. What would you pay at the dollar store? Oh, yeah, dollar. Dollar and eight. Yeah, you got to pay that tax. No matter what you paid for your Bible, whether it was a dollar eight or over $100, it's worth far more than you paid for it. Because the Bible does say that it's worth more than money. It's sad that so many Christians don't view it as that. It's a book that you only pick up when you're in trouble. It's a book you open up and you read maybe some Psalms when you're going through some depression or some discouragement. You figure, well, let me quickly read a few verses and maybe I'll get out of my depression or out of my discouragement or out of my despondency or whatever the case may be. It's not a book you just pick up and read when you just need it. It's a book that you are to read every day of your life. You're to learn the Bible. You're to live the Bible. You're to make it part of your life. I often read about some of these individuals that back years gone by that couldn't even own a Bible. Could not even own a Bible in the language that we have today. This Bible came from people that literally sacrificed their lives so we could have a copy of a Bible. Back many few hundred years ago, Bibles were chained to pulpits and only the priests in the Catholic Church could actually read from it and give some kind of a message from it. The average person off the street was not allowed to even look at the Bible. I've heard stories where people have come in and just opened up the Bible and looked at it, chained to the pulpit, and they were killed because they just looked at the Bible. Do you know the Bible is the roadmap to heaven? I like what I got a text yesterday from Rev. He sends me texts every Saturday. He said this, if you come to a roadblock in your life, you may want to check your spiritual map to make sure you didn't miss a turn. I like that. This will never guide you in the wrong direction, this book. This book will always guide you exactly where you need to go and where you need to be. This Bible will never steer you wrong. You don't ever have to worry about going down the wrong road with that Bible. Genesis chapter 24, verse 27, it says, and he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Abraham's servant Eliezer had said that about going off and finding a wife for Isaac. The Bible shows us just how much of a sinner we really are. You know that, right? Romans 3:10. Say it with me. Say it with me. No, that's Romans 3:23. Romans 3:10, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This Bible tells us what kind of a sinner we really are. It doesn't pull any punches. It doesn't pull down any shades where it doesn't reveal who we really are. This Bible tells us who we really are. How much of a sinner we are and how much we need a Savior. That's what the Bible does. The Bible tells us of a Savior who loved us so much that He came to this world to die for us, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I got that from the Bible, John 3:16. I love John 14. Don't you love John 14, 1 through 3? Say yes. Say you love it. Say, yeah. I'm not trying to get you to just parrot something. I mean it. John chapter 14. You know this Bible tells us how we can have a home in heaven? This Bible tells us where we're going to go when we die. Saved people die and go to heaven. Lost people die and go to hell. The Bible tells us that. John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Aren't you glad that you know that someday when you die, you're going to go to heaven? That Jesus is preparing a place for you? Preparing this special place just for you and I when we die someday? How do we know that? The Bible tells us that. The Bible also makes it very clear according to Luke 16 and Revelation chapter 20. We'll just look at Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11. You have to be saved in order to go to heaven. God just does not allow everybody into heaven. Everybody. He just doesn't allow everybody. Now, He will allow everybody that's been saved in heaven. Amen? But He doesn't just allow everybody into heaven. What kind of heaven would it be like if God just said, "Yeah, everybody can come. You don't need to be saved. You don't need to." I mean, what would it be like to go to a place where everybody just goes there and does their own thing? Jesus Christ died on it. Then why did Jesus Christ die on a cross if we don't have to believe upon Him in order to go to heaven? The Bible makes it very clear there's a place called hell in Luke 16 and a place called the lake of fire in Revelation chapter 20. Revelation 20 and verse 11, it says, "And I saw a great white throne and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." You have to have your name in the book of life to go to heaven. If your name is not in the book of life, and that day when those books are opened, and God is looking there, and He's looking for your name, and if your name isn't in there, folks, I hate to say this, but the Bible says, and I just read it, that if your name is not found written in the book of life, you're going to be cast into the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. Is that serious? If your name is not found in the book of life, you're not going to go to heaven. Is your name in the book of life? Many of your names are in the book of life. But maybe, and I don't know, I only look upon the outward appearance. I only see your face. I only see who you are. I know who you are based upon what I see on the outward, but God looks upon the inward. He sees you. He knows you. He knows if you've been saved or not. I don't know. I look out here on this vast crowd and I say, I would hope and pray everybody is saved. I would hope and pray. But if you're not saved, you need to get your name in the book of life. Because that's the only way you're going to go to heaven. Do you know the Bible tells us how to treat one another? The Bible tells us how we are to love one another, respect one another, help one another, exalt one another, comfort one another, protect one another. The Bible gives us all the instruction that we need to help one another, to love one another. A church is a church. It's a group of people that's supposed to love one another and help one another and deal with one another and exhort and to comfort one another and to pray for one another. The Bible gives us all of the help that we need when it comes to that. The Bible is of more value than any other book in the world. Any other book in the world is more valuable than that. A few hundred years ago, Bibles were not even allowed, again, as I said, available to the public. We have Bibles in our bookstore. If you need a Bible, we will give you a Bible. We'll buy it for you. We don't even care if you pay for it. We want to just give it to you. We'll buy it, and then we'll give it to you, free of charge. So again, how valuable is your Bible to you today? See, there are some things that are more valuable than money. There are some things that are better than money. A good name is better than money, and the Bible is better than money, according to the Scriptures. I don't have time to give you the rest. You'll have to come tonight to get the rest of them. I won't tell you how many I've got written down either. But we'll give you some more tonight, things that are better than money. How is your name today? There might be some people in this world that are embarrassed to give their name out. I don't know if anybody here that would do that or would be embarrassed to give a name. What's your name? There are people that are out there that might give an alias. I'm Bill Jones. Sam Smith, something, you know. Folks, your name is very, very important. And what you do in life determines what your name is going to be classified as. There's only two, really. Good or bad. So a good name is much more valuable than money. And how valuable is this Bible to you? You know how valuable it is, depending on how you read it or how often you read it and what it means to you. If you lost your Bible, if somebody came along and just took your Bible, what would it do to you? I see the stack of Bibles back there on the back shelf, and we see them in the left all over sometimes here, and I sometimes wonder. I know, I got my Bible back. I got another Bible that I read at home. I guess I understand that. But I pretty much, this is the one I read from. I don't know where I'd be without it. If somebody stole my Bible, I don't know what I'd do. Watch out. But find out who you are. Watch out. But how valuable is, how often do you read your Bible? Daily? Amen? Daily? Some of you, I know you read your Bible daily. You tell me that, and I believe you. If you told me you read your Bible every single day without fail, I believe you. But the question is this, how valuable is this to you? This is worth more than all the money you earn, all the money you have in your bank, if you have any. This is more valuable than the job that you have. Money's not a bad thing. It's how you spend it and on what. Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you, Lord, for those that have come out today. Thank you, Lord, for the patience of the people that they've been listening. I do pray, Lord, that you'd help us to realize, again, how important a good name is.